And, you know, for the last couple of weeks, we've been having some very intense conversations in the wake of Me Too, in the wake of Harvey Weinstein, in the wake of Jeffrey Epstein and all of this. And R. Kelly, of course, because a lot of you were questioning why women wait so long to talk about these sexual assaults. So let me just, and so, you know, my position on this is that, and the position of women that have actually been assaulted is, I mean, they're traumatized. They don't know what to do. They, you know, they're not believed. And a lot of you that called in made it quite clear that you did not believe these women with the R. Kelly. You didn't believe the women in the in Harvey Weinstein. And so this just happened about a week ago. What usually happens when something like this happens on airplanes, and unfortunately it happens a lot, the person that is doing the touching is detained. Police are waiting for him when he gets off, him or her, when he gets, they get off the plane. And the FBI is called immediately because it's, you know, it happens on an airplane. The second part of this with the Spirit Airlines is that they named this girl, Tia Jackson, they named her. And they did not get her permission. And it didn't seem like Spirit was trying to protect her. She's a college student. And she is very traumatized to wake up and you feel some man's hands in your pants. I mean, I can't imagine how that would feel. And no one on the plane try to comfort you or anything, just move you and then say the FBI is investigating. The guy, he's at home or at the party or wherever. Joining me in studio is Erin Walton. She's executive director at Resilience, and she's a mom of three, and she's has all kinds of degrees, and she's been working with nonprofit organizations for a long time. I understand you're very active with Autism Speaks. That is awesome. Welcome, Erin, to the show. How are you?
Thank you so much. I'm doing well. Thanks for having me.
Well, listen, the reason why, like I said, and first of all, tell our listeners what Resilience is.
We're a nonprofit here in Chicago, and our main priority is to empower survivors of sexual violence, ultimately with the goal to end sexual violence in our community. So we work with over 2,000 survivors every year, and we provide prevention education to about 20,000 people across the city of Chicago every year.
So let me ask you, like I would ask anyone else, why is it that women are so hesitant, and men, when they have been sexually assaulted or if they are an ongoing victim of sexual abuse? Why don't they tell someone?
Well, everybody's story is personal, but primarily it's because they are indeed traumatized and do not necessarily know what their first or next step should be. People feel, unrightfully so, they feel a sense of guilt and shame mm-hmm. about it, asking themselves the question about, you know, what did I do wrong? Did I encourage this? Did I do something to bring this to myself? Unfortunately, too many people have that perspective. And I think the bigger answer is that people feel as though they will not be believed. Mm-hmm. Statistically, we know that to be true, about out of every 1,000 incidences of sexual assault, mm-hmm. only about 5 cases end up with the perpetrator being prosecuted and sent to jail.
You know, the other thing that I was wondering about, because this came up with the Harvey Weinstein, with the emails and how some of these women, even though they are claims of sexual assault by him, they had ongoing relationships with him. How common is it for someone to have continued contact with the person that abused them?
Well, first, I'll say that about 70% of the time, the perpetrator is somebody that you know and or have a relationship with. So it's very common that you would have a previous relationship prior to the incident and oftentimes an ongoing relationship, particularly if that person is in power or an authority over you, a mm-hmm. work situation
okay.
or a family member. So it's very often that those relationships continue and the survivor is left to navigate a very traumatizing relationship.
You know, it's ironic that Tarana Burke was here in town at Northwestern yesterday. And Tarana Burke is a Me Too founder. And she was in Surviving R. Kelly, too. She was interviewed for Surviving R. Kelly. And, you know, I'm going to tell you, we had some really heated discussions throughout this whole R. Kelly and Harvey Weinstein. I mean, you know, and it was, and what was so surprising, it was men that were participating more than the women were, for whatever reason. But what disturbs me so much is that there's no compassion. Somebody's got to protect. And I'm just going to, because I am a black woman, we've got to protect our black women and girls. And so I can't wrap my brain around that when men are together and some man is being a real creep, how you can't step up and be the man that you are and say, no, man, she's drunk. Don't do that. You know, you understand what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
I don't understand, because I do know men like that. I talk about one of my colleagues, Matt McGill. He would never, I mean, he's been in fights and broken up people that were getting accosted on the streets and that sort of thing. My brother was like that and his friends. And I know this is acceptable behavior. When we were on 87th Street, I would watch these girls walk up and down the street, coming back and forth from school. Sure. And it'd be a carload of older men.
Yeah.
A carload, not one, I mean, three or four men in the car or the truck, and not one said, man, leave her alone. She's too young.
It's in our culture.
Don't say that, Erin.
Yeah, in
what
the
do you
line
mean?
Of work that we do, we call it rape culture. And essentially, we've all grown up in this community that accepts behavior like that as, you know, boys will be boys kind of mentality, where to tease or to flirt crosses a line of being inappropriate, and we don't understand where the line is oftentimes.
So you're not saying within just the black community. You're
absolutely
talking about the community at large.
The community at large, absolutely.
I mean, because when this I'll give you another example to what you were saying. When this boy was caught raping the Stanford student out there in California, the judge was recalled because he wanted to slap him on the wrist. And did slap him on the wrist.
Yeah. I think sometimes people misunderstand. They have a different interpretation or the wrong interpretation of what a sexual assault or a rapist is. People have this mentality that in order to be a rapist, you have to be someone who, you know, was hiding in the bushes in the middle of the night, a complete stranger,
mm-hmm.
and someone, you know, attacks you.
While you're sleeping.
While
or
you're
something.
Sleeping. But more often than not, as I mentioned earlier, we know the perpetrators. They could be somebody, you know, in your family. They could be someone that you're dating. It's typically a relationship or a connection there in some part. And we as a society don't really understand that and feel as though we can't wrap our brains around the fact that someone that you could be in your intimate circle could then turn violent towards you.
Oh, my goodness. I'm talking to Erin Walton. She is the executive director of Resilience. And, I not to get in any detail, Faith has suffered, her family has suffered a terrible, terrible tragedy recently. And I'm telling you, when she was telling me the story, you know, it had to do with sex and death and everything else. I mean, it was just too much. And I just want, I want our boys to be better. You know, one of the guys called up here when we were talking about R. Kelly, and he said some, and we were talking about Oprah, because Oprah wanted to do well, she was an executive producer on this project about Russell Simmons. And she pulled herself out of the project. And the first thing people said, why doesn't she go after some of these white people like Harvey Weinstein? She was friends with Harvey. And we made it about race. And I said at that time, I said, I don't care. I don't give a rat's patootie what they're doing in other communities. Can we just do this? Somebody even called me, Aaron, and said, well, why didn't it, which made no sense. It was ignorant. Why didn't R. Kelly have any white girls? I'm like, because probably he's not attracted, or that's not his thing. I just want us to be more broad-minded about what's going on and understand and have compassion for these women.
That's exactly right.
Ending sexual violence. And we've been talking to Erin Walton. She's the executive director of Resilience. The fact that this girl, Tia Jackson, that was on that Spirit airline, the way she was treated, see, they wouldn't have done that to a white woman. They wouldn't have done it. And even the passengers would have had compassion for her, and they would have, you know, we're sitting up there, you know, trying to stroke Amber Geiger's hair after she killed Botham Jean in Texas, but nobody comes to help us. And this is the whole point of this conversation. No one believes us. And you said there's another component to this. You said the savior. What did you call it?
Yeah, I said oftentimes in the black community specifically that we as black women have a savior complex within our community.
And what does that mean?
And what I mean by that is that we know as a people in general that we are marginalized in so many different ways. And so to identify a perpetrator, particularly one that you know. Strangers are different, but one that you know, whether it's a family member, a pastor, a coach.
Someone that lives in the house.
Yes, absolutely. Someone that we know and have a relationship with in some capacity, who's also an African-American person, we feel a sense of protection automatically as women that we
want to. In spite of the fact that you've been abused.
In spite of the fact.
Going to prison.
Absolutely. We don't want to be a part of criminalizing our community.
I told you how I felt. Let's go to our phone calls. Let's start with Lewis. Lewis, thank you for your patience. Go right ahead.
Good morning, Ms. Smalls.
Hi, Lewis.
And, good morning to your guest.
Thank you.
Good morning.
And thank you for having your guest on there, because she clarified a lot of things that goes on out there in this world. And she said two things that made a lot of sense. When she said something about they don't like to report things like that. And the reason why they don't like to report things like that is because it attacks their self-esteem.
That's right.
And then another thing about it is she said something that it was cultural. And I agree with her there, because we saw it in a movie that Oprah Winfrey made, and it was called The Color Purple. Do you remember that movie?
Yes, absolutely.
And it was about incest going on in the family, you know, and how it affected the family.
Yeah.
And so I agree with your guest 100% about what she's talking about.
Thank you. Okay, then. Let's go to Mark. Mark, thank you for your call. Go right ahead. Okay, Mark's not there.
Hello?
That's Mark. Go ahead, Mark. How are you?
Okay, good. So he just really stole my thunder, but I take it a little further. It's not only incest, but it's also where family members have helped cover it up.
Right.
Aunties and uncles have helped cover it up, in the family. Don't tell nobody. But here's the other side. There needs to be a He Too movement, too, because, look, at 16, I was messing around with women 26, 27 years old, mm-hmm. And most of us that don't talk about it, we don't talk about it. A lot of us 15, 16 years old have been.
And wait a minute, you're not ready. You know, a 15-year-old brain mm-hmm. that's got another 11 years to develop.
That's right.
Right.
You don't know how to process that. Do you remember how you felt after that? Did you
good.
Feel proud?
What do you mean?
You
I felt proud of it. Good.
Okay, that's what I'm
good,
saying.
But
yeah.
I'm just saying, you're still statutory rape. And a lot of that goes on. I mean, you have a lot of women that are picking up little young boys, just like you have a lot of guys.
Yeah.
Say, like catcalling. You know, that goes on with young men as well.
Yeah.
And it really don't need to happen neither way. And it really needs to stop. I mean, I have daughters.
Yeah.
And a guy be in trouble messing around with one of my
I would literally
be in trouble.
Well, you know what? And when you talk about resilience, your organization, I know it's mostly women, but we have compassion for men that have been
Absolutely.
Assaulted.
There are definitely, statistically, we know that more women, the sexual violence occurs to women more often mm-hmm. than men, but it certainly is. It happens to all demographics.
Mm-hmm.
I believe it's one in every 33 men mm. are sexually assaulted in their lifetime in some point. So it crosses all demographics, male, female, every ethnic group, mm-hmm. every age group.
Mm-hmm.
It impacts us all. No one is not connected.
I'm going to tell you, there was a Dr. Phil that haunts me to this day, and every time there's a rerun of it, I watch it. And it was this little mixed-race girl. Her mother was white. And she was born to another guy. You know, her father, her biological father, was a black guy. And this man, her new husband, abused her, sexually assaulted her from the time she was 5 to the time she was 15. And I'll never forget what she said, and that was my aha moment while I was watching that show. She says, "Do you remember Bruce? When you told me, after I had asked you, why are you doing this to me? When you said, because I'm black and that's the only thing black girls are good for." That
wow.
broke my heart. And I know there are other girls that have done that just because of the mere fact they're black. They are sexualized at a very early age.
And, absolutely.
And they say that all the time. There's a study done where they said that little white girls can be little white girls until they're 17, 18 years old. And they said black girls seem to be more worldly and everything. By the time they're 10, they're not seen as little girls. They're not seen as innocent.
Unfortunately, that is true. And in the United States, historically, it goes back to our history
as
being enslaved girls.
Yeah.
And so we've been sexualized from a very early age. And because of that, people feel as though it's something that we want
mm-hmm.
or that we encourage.
Mm-hmm.
And it's actually, you know, we know that that's not to be the case at all.
Erin, I have certainly enjoyed your perspective today. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me. I really appreciate
it. It went by quickly, too, didn't
it?
So, Erin, where can people go to find out more about resilience?
You can contact us at OurResilience.org,
mm-hmm.
and it gives our website shares all of our programming, and we're here to help anyone that needs our support 24 hours a day.
All right, then. Thank you so much. What a pleasure.